that you would use them mightily for your work, Lord, that that nation would be set free from the oppression it's been under for hundreds of years, that you would deliver them from this voodoo demon spirit, Lord, that it would have no longer any authority over this tiny nation. And so, Father, we come to you corporately as a body, just your little sheep, your little lambs, asking you, Lord, to do this work there upon Haiti, and that Mark and Sherry and Marvin and Zach would be a part of that, that you would anoint Pastor Marcel Turnival and the people there that have been called to take the your word forth, your gospel, Lord, to the people, that they may know that you truly are God, and not this voodoo spirit thing, not any of these other gods, Lord, but you truly are God, and that your word would spread right up into the mountains, even as it has, and that you will go forth in might and power. And we thank you for hearing this petition, Lord, that you would complete that work that you have for them just through Tuesday, Lord, and you bring them home safely, and help Mark just to enjoy that flight back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Missions is such an important part of the church, and we have been privileged, as I mentioned earlier, to give to missions close to 20%, and the Lord has been such a blessing. And I want to you hear the word mission, and yet there needs to be a face there. And if you are to study those that we support out on the mission field, there's a story behind almost every missionary that we support. There's a personal connection. We just didn't get out a list of missions and go down the list and try to find which one, you know, this one sounds good. We didn't do that. There's a personal connection in every missionary that we support. And the couple that we have today visiting us from India, and Victor and Julie, could you stand up now? I would like to introduce to you this very special couple, missionaries to India. They came on as missionaries in 1989. Victor was a Jesuit priest, and for how many years, Victor? 32 years. And he prepared 14 years just to become a Jesuit. Is that right? And does he look that old to you? He looks like he's 40. Now, 1955, he started, that's when you graduated from college, right? And then 55. I'm blown away. But first, there's a connection here in so many ways. I saw him waving a Bible on TBN. When TBN was about a year old as a TV station, he was waving a Bible. He had a Catholic priest outfit on with a collar. And the little white thing. I said, Terry, come on in here. You got to see this. This priest, he's holding the Bible up. How can we support this guy? So I called and I asked, how can we support him? And he returned the call, and it started a relationship. And we got to know each other. We went to your final vows there in Hollywood. And even Laura, Terry's sister. Where's Laura? Laura went to India for 3 months. I think it was 76, wasn't it, Laura? In 76, she went for 3 months. 3 months. 4 months. 4.5 months. She went over there. You see, there's a personal connection here. Victor, come on up. So he's like a member of the family. And there's so many other stories about our missionaries. We are very privileged and honored to have you here, Victor. To come and speak and minister to the body. And you're part of us. Victor was ordained in this church when he left the priesthood. Now, we're talking a guy with degrees hanging all over the place, philosophy degrees, arts and film, and he doesn't like talking about this, but UCLA. But anyway, he has all these degrees. He gave all that up for Jesus. And isn't that great? Yeah. And he went into the mission field in 1989. We supported him. He got married in 1993 to Julie. And they've been for the Lord, claiming India for Jesus. You're going to hear a little bit about it tonight. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me pray for you, Father, Lord. And we used to call him Father. We don't anymore. Father Victor. No longer. He's Pastor Victor. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing Victor into our fold to just be an arm here of the people here to reach out to the people of India, to the little children, to offer them the gospel, Lord, and that you would anoint him just now, all the words that are to come forth, and touch us and help us, Lord, to just draw a little closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Jesus is telling me they won't recognize you with this shirt over here and without a collar. They'll think you're a Calvary Chapel man, but you're not the same man he's talking about. So, here I go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That one thing I know about Chuck Smith, he insisted on the Word. That's what the Calvary Chapel was based upon, his teaching of the Word, night and day. And all those people gathered in Long Beach, the hippies came in. And in fact, today, I mentioned about it and I did not finish the story. You know what happens with me? The Holy Spirit tells me, you use the same theme I've given you, and it's going to come soon, the Word of God. But the day I was born again in the hospital, the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, when you go back to the Catholic Church, you have five masses to preach at, one after the other. And most of them give the same sermon, and they've got it all written out, end, finished, that's it. He said, you can say the same word, but you don't know my people. I am the pastor and overseer of these people. In each batch comes a new set of people. You don't know them, I know them. So you give the same word, which belongs to all of them, but how you preach it, I will handle it. So all the jokes and all I should prepare for the Irish and for the Polish and all, I drop them. Entertainment out, Jesus in. And I remember after I was born again and began to preach again, with that principle that the Holy Spirit told me, I saw tears in the eyes of people after the Mass. Before they used to come and say, oh Father, they loved it. They used to remember only my jokes, not the Word of God. And I said, and there are tears in their eyes. I said, what happened? We saw Jesus today. I was the same guy with the long hair, studying at UCLA, and the same face. I used to talk to about Jesus then also. I used to always love to talk about Jesus, because I belong to the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. And I love Jesus. But now I was born again. That's big difference. I thought I never needed to be born again, because I left everything to follow Jesus, right? Only when I was born again, I knew the difference. You can follow Jesus like all the Pharisees and all the people followed him. But they could not enter the kingdom of God without being born again. He said, John the Baptist is the greatest of all in the Old Testament, even more than the Blessed Virgin Mary and Elijah and everyone. He's the greatest. Why do you say greatest? Because he introduced Jesus, I guess. But he said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He's pointing at you. But you're greater than John the Baptist. What was he saying? No one in the Old Testament could come with such authority that he was going to give a believer. Anyone who believes in me, greater things than I have done, you shall do. And he was the greatest in the Bible. And the greatest works. And that's for you and for me. In the night. So, right now, I don't know what I'm going to speak now. What I spoke last night and what I spoke previously, I don't know. And some of them I spoke half and I forgot. But, remember only one thing. Jesus loves you and he loves the children. That's all. And he wants you to take care of the children. That's what he's telling me. That's why you are in Disneyland. You can call this Calvary Chapel or Disneyland. And, yes, you know, Julie was telling me how she was spoken by in prophecy Pastor Bush, but President Bush was going to be elected, and he was not going to be elected. There was a big confusion in Florida. And as she began to go into prayer in the house, and says, Victor, you go to church to preach, I'm going to be here. I like that. Church is not going to a building. Wherever we are church in action. And I liked what she did. I said, okay, Raymond, I'm going, you know. When I came back, she had the answer that she said, don't worry, he's going to be elected. But he's not yet ready, and I'll make him ready. He was choosing a child who was just born again, Bob Bush. And he was going to train him. And when did he get ready? Not Bob Bush. George Bush. Bobo is another Jesuit, a good friend of mine. Okay. And so he said, I'm going to train him. And his training came the day, and he mentioned it himself, the day 9/11 hit. Right? 9/11, the towers came down. And when he saw that, he said, that day I changed. He came into that what he was called for as a believer, with authority to pray and bring down all the machinations of the evil one. All that are the roots of evil. Of killing, murder, lies, name it. In this nation and other nations, the Lord put a covering on our nation at that time. And you've seen the results, I don't have to go. But I believe that Calvary Chapel too got a great calling for the missionary. And last night as I was going through this, I came to Mark. Mark is the pastor of this church, right? Mark 9/11. This 9/11 was meant for Chuck Smith when he first started. Mark 9/11. What did we read there? You get it? Mark 9? No, wait. Was it Mark 9/11? Matthew 9/11, sorry. How did I go to Mark? Matthew 9/11. And he said, when the Pharisees saw this, what did they see? If he was caring for all those sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They were the righteous ones. The Messiah should come for the righteous ones, for the good ones. Why is he going there? And Jesus gave his mission. And his answer to this 9/11 was made Calvary Chapel. And on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That is the calling of Calvary Chapel. That's the calling of Jesus. And I read in the life of Chuck Smith, in one of his books, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they had a beautiful chapel was built now, and all the elders there and all, and they had beautiful carpets in the chapel, and it was a great chapel, and I find good many converts could come in. So one day I was entering the chapel, and right at the door was put, bare feet not allowed. Because many people were coming with dirty bare feet, and they, so he removed the thing and kept it aside. Correct me if I'm wrong, did you read this one? Okay. And he asked the elders, who put that notice? He said, no, we put it, because we put a brand new white carpet over here. He said, remove the carpet and let them come in. Remove the carpet. Churches are not meant here to build buildings made of stone, but of living stone. Even if you meet under the palm trees like in India. Our church cornerstone, the first one, we are still meeting under the trees. The rainy season, we put a tent. The first one that is in Borivali, that we started. A little house by the side where we keep the equipment. I'm telling you something, that his heart was for the sinners. He wanted them to come in. Incidentally, in India, when they tell you to come in with bare feet, lest you will put the dirt in the house. You remove your slippers and you keep them outside. Also, when you go to see houses nowadays, you know, those new houses, they tell you to remove your shoes and come in so you won't dirty the carpet. But their feet were not allowed. And he knew what he had been called for. And these men, hippies, were connected with Goa, where I was born. Yeah, but they were American. No, many of them had Hindu religions from India. And they were worshipping Hindu gods in Long Beach. There was a connection. Why? Because hippies there saw in the Life magazine and Time magazine, there was a man called Chuck Smith baptizing people in the river. He became the media big news. I hope there's more good news like this in the media today. But the whole world can read what Jesus is doing through his ministers and through his children. And I'm so proud and so happy to be a part of this family and to be ordained under this ministry, because it is not a denomination. It just multiplies and bears fruit. You know what is bearing fruit? Many people think, and most of the church pastors think, that a tree has to grow. That is my church. my church. No, Jesus said, I will build my church, the pastors don't build the church. They only make disciples. He is the pastor and overseer. But he said, no, this is my church. Okay, good. And I'm going to have a lot of people in this. So they have more and more, and the children get, and they get married, and they have children, and from the womb to the tomb, they're always in the same church. And they go to a big church. And the bigger the church, the more you get invitations to speak at a big assembly. Oh, he's a pastor. How many churches? 5,000, 10,000. They will be put to shame in India. Every Catholic local church has got 12,000 to 15,000 Catholics in it. And if you want to say the largest number is the true church, then the Roman Catholic Church is the true church, right? When I was leaving the Catholic Church, I didn't say I'm leaving the church. I said I'm leaving Romanism. Because that cannot be a church that is not born again and believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior. So I believe that right now the Lord is telling me to speak to you about children. Why? Because you have been placed in a time of America where if you do not pay attention to the children, Babylon, the Muslims will come and take it. Iraq, they'll come and take it. You think we've conquered them over there? The Lord is saying, be careful. You have become rich, you become powerful, it's the best nation in the world, believe me. If you want to know it, I tell people very often in America, you want to give your child a good, best gift for his birthday, pay his ticket and send him to India. Just for 15 days. Oh, I'm going for the trip. Yeah, come for the trip. He'll come back, boy. All he's thanking his dad and mom. Oh, I got my hamburger. You can't even get a hamburger. You know, you'll see the misery in the streets of the children. Millions of them. Born and died naked. 1 billion people in India. And more. A billion is 1,000 million. How much does America has got? 400 million? You don't know. Praise God, you're not counting your sheep. But we are definitely double or more than this nation. And out of which, 50% are children below the age of 17. Most of them cannot go to school. They are on the streets. And they will die on the streets. They are nameless. The hospitals, they can go for 1 week at the most. They keep them in a bed and throw them out and make room for the next one. They throw them out on the streets back to die. When I saw that, my heart cried out, God, how are you going to, what are you doing here? The British have left, we got independence of India, Gandhi, Nehru can do nothing. And what are we going to do? And when I was wanting to leave India with all my qualifications and a job in England or whatever it was, the Lord said, don't go. I heard him very clearly, as a Catholic. You speak to Catholics, there he does. He speaks even to Hindus and Muslims. I've got a man, a pastor in Goa right now. He's bringing thousands to the Lord. He was the son of a witch doctor, like in Haiti. And his mother and all were in witchcraft, totally. From born, he had never seen a Catholic, he had never seen a Protestant, he had never seen a Christian, never seen a church, living in the jungles of India. And then one day his witchcraft father died, was killed by witchcraft. And his mother, they were in poverty. And he has a little sister and mother, he had to support, he used to go and start getting fruits from the trees to get for them. And then one day he cried out, God, there must be somebody, because they know there is a spirit out there. They call them all kinds of things, the voodoo and witchcraft, but they're searching for the God. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee, says Augustine. You created us for yourself. So we have no excuse. Even the heavens talk about us, God, as Paul says. So no man has an excuse. Even before this book was written, it was written out there. And the hearts, that they came from God and they have to go back to Him. And he cried. And he saw somebody in front of him. Who do you think he saw? The one who is the missionary. Jesus Christ. You forgot that he's a missionary? Who do you think converted Saul and made him Paul? He said, oh, Jesus is in the heavens, now we are the missionaries. He came from his heaven and struck Saul down. Why do you persecute me, Saul? He's still in the business of evangelization. When I was preaching in Borivali, Catholic Church, The priest told me, before night the people will run away. All this tongues and all this kind of thing, this is nonsense Protestantism you brought over here. The people are not only full in the church, they were even the cemetery outside was full. And one night the devil came and knocked off all the electrical lights of the place. And I was forced preaching the word of God. And now I couldn't even talk with the microphone gone off. And there was a candle by my side on that altar. And I began to shout, "You have to repent. Jesus loves you. He can forgive and forget right now, even though I was saying the red of color, or whatever I was saying." And I never knew what was happening. But people were getting saved all over the place. How did I know that? The next day, many men came to me, several men. Because I said, you know, I would like the men for confessions tomorrow, but not sitting in the confessional. I'll sit down, you come and meet me, and if for many years you've not gone, we'll make your peace with the Lord, come. Because I wanted to get them born again. A lot of men came. And about five of them told me, "We have not come to church for a long time. I'm a businessman," and so on. But when I came in, and you were shouting, I don't know even what you were saying. I just came out of curiosity, what is this charismatic priest going doing here? And I saw him, I said, "Who?" Jesus was standing right there, by the side of the table. And I said, "Yes?" "And what did he tell you?" "Oh," he said, "I gave my heart to the Lord. I repented. I was sure for all my sins. I've not been coming. I promised to go. I went back. I should not talk with my brother. And for a long he's living in the house there because he stole my property and my cognitory and I don't know what. And we have not been talking. I ran to his house at 12:30 in the night. The ministry got over at 11 o'clock. And he says, my brother came out. He says, I'm sorry. And they hugged one another. A miracle of forgiveness was taking place. And he said, then we had a glass of wine, the Catholics. We had a glass of wine. And they are Jesus' followers too. He had wine also. So, and he celebrated. I said, good. Then the next man comes. Tells me the same story. I don't know what you were saying, but it struck me last night. I've come here to repent and confess my sins. But you know, he said, I saw Jesus last night. I said, where? The lights were all out. He was standing. I said, where? Now I want you to know whether you saw the same Jesus. Always discern, you know, what this is going on. He pointed to the same place by the side of the table. Because right there the candle was, a little back of that, he was standing. It was a real Jesus. Because Jesus appearing here and there is a different question. It was a person of Jesus, the risen Lord, appearing there. So three or four men told me this. Jesus is in the business of evangelizing. That's why I'm praying. Many mullahs can see him and get converted right now. Saddam Hussein can be converted, Saul can be made into Paul. I don't give up on anybody. The doors are opening. But I know that President Bush has got a calling for one thing, to open up the doors for the mission field. Whether he'll like it or not. People don't know it, they know that he knows it probably. But he's saying, pray, pray. You know why? Because Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And the church is going to go vastly all over the place. Prayer warriors are going to come out, break down all the strongholds that are necessary. And the Lord is going to use the weak to confound the wise, to the strong, and the foolish to confound the wise. And He's doing that right now. So He's calling children. How do I know that? You know that. All the prophets are speaking already, the end time army of Josiah, like who was at the age of 8, he came into kingship. And then he was the one who destroyed all the Asherah poles and all the Baals and Molochs and everything that was in the temple. Right in the temple they were built. He destroyed everything. He cleansed the temple. He found the book of the law. He read it and he wept and he cried. The boy king. But at the age of 8 he became king. And he had to undo what Manasseh had done before him. And the curse that had come upon the whole nation because of Hezekiah, the king. Hezekiah the king was an excellent king. There was no king before him or after him who was so good itself. Then he prayed, the army of the Assyrians was destroyed in one night. He didn't lift a soul, a hand. He couldn't. They were too strong for him. But the angel of death came, wham! Can he come today? Oh, but there's a New Testament. I'm sorry? The least in the kingdom of God is greater than all the saints of the past. He was a great king. He was so great, But like many of us Americans, we like to show off what we have. Right, of course, we have got cars, we got this. Come on, we put it on television all over the place. And the Babylonians from Iraq, I'm calling it Iraq because that's from where Abraham came from. You know, they heard about his being healed. He was very sick unto death. He had a terminal sickness, a boil. And he sent for Isaiah the prophet. And the prophet told him, you will be healed. Because you have been a good king. He ordered even medicine to be put on him. Now see, each one God does in a different way, a poultice to heal his boil. And he has given you 15 years more to live. When he was healed, the king of Babylon heard about this and sent the people to visit him. So they came and he showed them everything that he had. And the prophet asked him, what did he show them? He said, all the silver and gold and the chalices and the temple and outside the temple and everything that I have. I, like many of us pastors, my church, my big church, it's sitting there from the womb to the tomb. It is not going out. It is finished now. Now the glory is mine. I built my church. It's the same thing. Hezekiah, the great king, who believed and trusted in the Lord, he said. He always looked to the Lord. Now it was his. And so, what did the prophet tell him? I will go to the 2 Kings 18. The prophet told him, hear the word of the Lord, great king. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all your fathers have stored up until this day. We give our inheritance from generation to generation, don't we? And so also we give our curses. And we worship idols, it said in the second commandment, the longest one, it will come down to the fourth generation. I should tell the Catholics always, you have missed out the second commandment, it is not there in the Ten Commandments. And you've made the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. In the two, ninth and tenth. The tenth commandment includes both. And the second commandment is not there. It brings curses unto four generations. So he tells him. He says, you did this. You forgot your God. You're taking glory to yourself. You know, God is very particular about this. Nothing will be left, be taken away. Some of your descendants and your own flesh and blood, your children now, are going to be affected. Will be taken away and they will become eunuchs in the place of the kings of Babylon. Eunuchs, castrated. They won't produce more children. I've seen them in India. For the temple worship and all that. And do you know what Hezekiah said? Like many of us do. Can give all the messages in this church or any church from the Lord. We continue doing church like, not exactly like Romanism. We can call it Protestantism. They're following the same message. Jesus wants us to go out into the jungles and everywhere, and our home churches are coming back again like it was in the first century. There was no time to build this and overheads. Because sooner they were filled with the Spirit, they made disciples. Disciples and the fivefold ministry created men and teachers who could teach others and could teach others. Every family became a house church and multiplied and people were evangelized, they came in over there. We are getting stagnant. We are having ministries, all the right titles. But we don't care for the next generation of believers. When big evangelists come to India, millions are born again in the streets. Hindus, Muslims, they get born again, they get healed, they see the power of God. And yes, Lord, we give our life to you. And we don't have religion very often. But where are they after the evangelist goes off? Two big evangelists, I won't mention the name, they have come to India. And they have found that not even 5% of 5 million, 5, 10 million who come to listen to them are churched or brought into the faith and become disciples and go on bearing fruit. And bearing fruit means not just make one big church, but make disciples who will, it is like, you know, fruit. If a tree has got fruit, oh, I've got a lot of fruit on it. So it's got abundant fruit, right? So you're fulfilling your ministry. Your church is the biggest church. I'm sorry. That's not the fruit the Lord is asking. That fruit has got a seed. It has to be a seed-bearing fruit. It has to fall to the ground, and another tree has to come up, which will multiply. And this is the way it is going to multiply. But if this one tree wants to carry all the fruit, when the tree dies, the fruit will die with it, and it will disappear. We are busy building our churches, but not multiplying, because we have forgotten the missionary commission. That was what it was. Go and make disciples. He never said, build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The enemy can totally destroy us if they destroy all our buildings. People won't know where to go. Pastor is gone, everybody is gone, now we are finished. It's the same like the Catholic Church. You take out the priest and there is no Catholic Church. Because there is no Blessed Sacrament. So all are depending upon the leaders who are called pastors. We have become like the Jezebel spirit between Jesus, the pastor and overseer, and the sheep. We pastors and the fivefold ministries are also part of the sheep, but we are workers in different parts of the body, equipping them. That's why we have got this project in India now. Everybody likes this word, hope. Hope. We have got great hope. House of prayer. And E for what? Equipping. You don't equip, that prayer is useless. No fruit to multiply. I first put house of prayer and evangelization. The government did not like that word to pass our project. Evangelization, no, no. Okay, I said house of prayer and education. They like that. And recently the Lord showed me, not education, equipping. Because we are busy educating people and teaching them here and teaching them and teaching them, not equipping them. Why? You have to make them get up and go out and do what you are doing. The pastor should make more pastors, and teachers should make more teachers, and the prophets should have more prophets, and the apostles should go out and there should be more apostles. Where are they going to be multiplied? It's like all the ministries of Jesus Christ. We have fallen from Romanism to Protestantism. We are still there, and the Lord is going to have a tremendous upheaval going on right now. And the children are going to come out, because who are the children? When we go and evangelize, and they are lost in the street, the children are gone. Who is going to minister to them? Where are the pastors? Like for example, our own church. Our pastor is saying, oh, we collected so many cards. And we go and invite them, and they go and contact them. They say, yeah, we are so happy that you came and evangelized, and so came and so on. Will you come to our church and we give them the address? Nobody turns up. But if you had a home right there close by, one of your church people, and said, come to my house, and I will teach you all every day during the week or on Sunday. Forget about coming over here to the mother church. Do it, and you watch how all the children will be fed. The children are lost. They were born again, and they were lost. 75% of those evangelized. And that is my heart and my burden, and it is of all of you too. But after the people are evangelized in India, who's going to take care of them? That's why I want even people from here. You'll come one day and you will teach the children to teach children. You will teach the teachers how to evangelize, put children into ministry. We are losing a great force of simple children, as Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. They believe so well that they can prophesy, they can heal, they can do all kinds of things. It is happening right now. I met a girl called Fisher. What's her name? Betty? Becky Fisher. Because my heart's cry was, Lord, how are we going to evangelize the... You have to get that 1 billion by the year 2006. That's what a prophet said in America. India is coming to the Lord by 2006. I believe it. Because if the Lord said, I'm going to see it, nothing is impossible. What's that for the Lord who created more than 6 billion people? So I'm waiting for it. And so when I was there, there was the minister, Bob Connor, who looked into my eyes. He doesn't know from where I come and what I am, and he said, the Lord says, you will be going back, taking with you wagons, covered wagons. You remember the American covered wagons long ago? Covered wagons. I see many wagons loaded with precious goods for all that you need. Because, you know, if I want teachers for all those that are evangelized, and if I want to have house churches, and the people are living in the streets, to give them a hut to live in at least, and start their church over there. So many languages. Where the resources are going to come from? I can't go to you and everyone else to beg for money. I cannot. It's not enough. The Lord has to give it to me. And when His word came, He said, I'm giving you, you take back with you wagons loaded. And I know what the wagons are. First of all, they're going to be great ministers of the Lord, especially from Calvary Chapel, maybe. I don't know. And they will come from anywhere. That's why one reason we don't beg for money. Why? Because the Lord is supposed to supply us. That's what He told the 72 disciples. Behold, I'm sending you. But He wants them to go by faith. And then you get much fruit and the devils come down screaming and the disciples come back saying, hey, isn't it great that it happened? And the Lord said, I saw Satan falling down. Because they went not depending on anyone but the Lord. They are a faith people. And right now, every one of you was destined to be giving the gospel or nurturing the newly born. I know there are ministries over here, some take it, some not take it. It's like a choice of a big menu over here. I'm sorry. There is no menu here. There is a commission. You know what missionary? You are sent by Jesus. Like He was sent by the Father, He's sending us. The Catholics know that word very well. Ite missa est, at the end of the Mass. And the Mass came from the word missa. Missa comes from the word mito, mitere, missi, missum, means I send. Go, you are sent for. Then when it was translated in English, they understood. Ite missa est means go, you are sent for. But they never knew where they were sent for because they were not born again. But the word is still there. Jesus said, the Father sent me, I am sending you. Go to the ends of the earth. You have been our brothers and sisters in the mission. And when I went there, when he told me about the wagons, I was so happy. And I met this Becky Fisher. When I went to one of the healing rooms they started over there. People are having healing rooms throughout the week. And all come, most of them are coming are Catholics for healing. And they get born again. And when I was there, I heard about Becky Fisher. And there she was, fully a media person for many years as a professional, now fully having this Kids in Ministry International. And she trained little children to pray and to prophesy and to cry out for the Lord and be prayer warriors. And she has shown, she's got a video and she's got everything. I mean, she's in Africa, she has been in India, already in South India. I had never met her. She was just round the corner where we used to live always, in North Dakota. And she was so happy. When, you know, when we talked, I didn't have to explain to her. She didn't have to explain to me. She was jumping around. So happy. That she's, that means we won't put any rules on her. She's going to be free to come there and train the children. And train the parents and train the teachers. She could do that here too for y'all. If this is your mission, this girl is unbelievable. Unbelievable, I see that in the spirit. But we've invited her already to India. Next December she's going to be there. Why? Because I see already, when evangelists come, all these people who are living in the huts and hutments on the street, they build our roads. But they don't have cars like our road builders have over here. After they build big palaces and craftsmen and farmers, all these great people from the villages have come there because they get more money in Goa or Bombay than in their villages in South. In the villages they don't even get half a dollar per day. Here they get at least $3 per day. Or $2 I think a day. So it is like a haven for them. And they're all around the place, different languages, 5-6 languages in Goa. Konkani is a language. How are we going to minister to them? Where are the disciples going to be? Can one pastor who knows just English and little half Konkani be handling them? They're not going to come to your church after evangelism. Recently we had a great big evangelist coming, they taught Bentley. And fantastic, there was miracles and immediately people were running because his message was, God can use nobody. I was a drug addict, I'm just 26 right now. And my father was also a druggie with me. And here he is, totally healed. And the father was there. And the people saw it and the boys saw it who never liked believers before. And they saw Julian myself standing there too. And he said, is this what believers are? We were coming to kill them because they took our school over there. And immediately people were calling and saying, where are the believers? Where are the believers? Come, my son is filled with a demon. Somebody is saying, I'm sick. Please come and pray for us. We had a wrong concept of believers spread around by the Catholic Church that they were heretics and all kinds of things. Suddenly they saw. But now, all these evangelized people, when you invite them to a church out there, they don't come. They don't want to enter a building. There's something gone wrong somewhere. When Jesus came, where did he invite them to a building? When the disciples were first, the Pentecost came around, where were the buildings? They met in the homes and broke bread. They had communion and they shared their meals. And they were filled with joy and ministering to one another, nurturing. They saw each other eyeball to eyeball. They knew each other by name and as persons. And they ministered to one another. Home churches. And then they met in the outer courts and the big congregation. The mighty healings took place where the fivefold ministries were there. And more people were saved. Then each one took the one that were their neighbors and they took them to their homes. They took care of the widows who were thrown out of their Jewish homes and the women and children. And they took care of them. So I want homes for the little ones who are on the streets. My God can supply that need. And you can't give it to me. But he said, I'm going to carry those wagons. So I told Becky Fisher, what do you think about the wagons? What does it mean? I like to discern. Like when I was once told, the children will show you the way. It took me a long time to discern what that is. But now I know it more and more. What is the meaning? Children will show you the way. It's not just the little children alone, but all those with childlike heart who believe in the Lord. They have got the way. They are the only ones who know it. Because they believe and it happens. That's the prayer, the way to pray. Now, the wagons, for what? Because I know we have these needs. When people are born again, you know what happens to us in India? We go and evangelize a hutment and full of slums and filthy living, people living in filth and mosquitoes and no bathrooms. I don't know how those women live over there. Julie was wondering, and they're so neat and clean wearing their sari, but they have nothing. But we call the whole. You want today we converted about 50 people. Oh, great, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we invite them to our church, they come. Some of them are thinking the people don't know whether they should sit next to them. And they are there in that same hut without water, without bath, without anything. Would you like that in America the same way? How dare you call them brother and sister? Would I like to see my own brother out in the filth? I said, Lord, I need his wagons. It loaded like the... And she said, you know, Victor, what wagons are? Pioneers. And I was telling Julie, I used to read cowboy stories when I was in India a lot. And there's wagons coming in and the longhorn cattle and all that kind of thing. And I used to love the cowboys because they used to come and kill all the evil fellows and then build up the community, you know. So, thank God they call Bush a cowboy. So, they're my heroes, actually, believe me. So now here, the wagons are coming in. And yesterday, when... who are the ones who are going to India and they're going to Texas? Eric and Beth Schwartz, a lovely couple. And she was telling me, Victor, you're speaking last night. I don't know what I was speaking. The Holy Spirit was giving me the word. So I was jumping like this to go. You see, it's already in her. The word I didn't put into her. It only reminded her that God is saying, go, you've got a big harvest in India and the East. And I said, then I'll tell you something. Any boss sends his person, whether it be CIA or whatever, they give them all the tools and techniques and money from the government to give it to them, right? You think God can't give us that? So I know they have needs, and this church will help some maybe, but I'm telling you something. I said, you know what, I got a lot of wagons coming. Can you please receive one? He looked at me. I said, no, I'm praying, God, one of the wagons here, or more. I can be generous, because when God gives, He gives a lot of wagons. Why say one? Say two or three. Six. I said it yesterday. I want the story coming back saying, Victor, what you said? We got all the things we needed, more than we needed. That's it. That's the kingdom of God. To believe like a child. And you will enter into the kingdom. And we are called to be mighty prayer warriors. You know, this word of God, Jesus, when he had the little children, he said, bring the little children unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And the apostles were saying, no. And they were keeping them away. He rebuked the apostles. Let the children come here to me. And they were little children, helpless, weak. He's talking about physical small children. Because also there are believers here. But these were small children, physical. And the mothers were bringing them in arms. Jesus loved them. We better not miss this point. So then he took them in his arms and he said, don't you touch these little ones, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You too must be like them. You depend totally. So he was giving a lesson, but he also cared for the children. In Isaiah 40, 11, it says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. Now this is the final times. And his arm rules for him. He's going to rule. He'll give the Jews who will look upon him that is pierced, and he will bring peace between Esau and Jacob and Ishmael and Isaac. He's going to do that. We can't do it. At the most you can say, don't fight. But we can't do it. The Lord, the King, the Messiah, their King, who is going to come to restore Jerusalem, and he'll rule from there, and they know it. It is written in the Quran that Jesus is coming back. I won't go into this, but we have talks about this very often to Muslims. Who Jesus is. He's coming back, I said, but not coming back as a ruler. You know very well that only God rules, right? And the Muslim is Jesus Christ. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. I love this picture. I've drawn it here right in my Bible. He carries them in his arms. You know, little lambs. And gently feeds those that have young. Gently leads those that have young. Parents, mothers who are pregnant, caring for children. You've got the greatest calling on earth. And those of you who are being trained as teachers to disciple the newly born people, nobody's caring for them. When we had this drama, Heaven Gave Hell's Flame, we are the field directors for the whole of India. Praise God, he just came into our lab from North Dakota. Canadians wanted us to take the whole thing. So we appointed the team and they're sending them, and thousands of people are coming to the Lord. In Bombay, when we had it for the first time, Dr. Pinder is now a born-again Christian, so he brought all his school children. And about 2,000 children got saved. But really saved, they were crying and they were telling us, please don't go. And all. Some of the children have problems of homosexuality, some of them parents are listening. Most of them were Hindus and Muslims children. But their parents don't have a religion as such. Their religion is money, paisa, the whole day. They are not really Hindus or whatever. But when it comes to, say, no, I'm a Hindu, all right, for politically good reason. Now, these children got saved. And every time I go there, they used to meet me, they used to come around. Pastor Victor, you want some word of God, you want someone to teach us. Nobody's seeking them. If we had ministers sufficient, we could send, because the parents tell them, okay, you can be a Christian if you want, but not till you're grown up and grow old can you go to the church. Don't go publicly, because what will my friends and I'll say that you. But we allow you. Now watch this. The parent says, we allow you to be a Christian. Because they know the value of Christianity. They studied in Christian school. And you say, you can read the Bible. But who's going to teach the child? You want someone to teach him. He can't be taught in that school, in the secular school. And then I said to them, where are the teachers? Where are the shepherds? All are sitting here right now. And that is why the Lord gave me this vision of hope, house of prayer and equipping in every marketplace where the people can come freely with the bare feet, with stinking feet, whatever, and just walk in and open like a tent. And you can have Marathi now, Hindi then, Konkani then, Telugu, Tamil, Kannada, whatever language, every hour can go on 24 hours a day. It's still a vision because we have not got the ground as yet, which we've got. We prayed for it. The Lord told Julie, I've given it to you. Look forward, backward, sideward, all this is yours. But the side is a big bus station where all the poor come to catch the buses to go to their jobs and come back. They have no cars, they have no bicycles, they have to walk. But they can walk to the marketplace. And there is the ground sitting down. House of prayer. But till now we didn't get the money. But the Lord gave us this building first, before we can start the house of prayer, where we can train children and others to become prayer warriors, to have the power of God for healing, to be like the disciples, totally believing. And that's why he told them, do not go till the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you can work by the Spirit, and you can heal, and you can have the power of God, and no one can come in your way, and the people will come to me. And you will be training people. My dear friends, I think it's time for us to go. But you've got the message. And I want to pray, because my dear wife is a wonderful prayer warrior. Not only that, she's very anointed when she speaks. She tells a small story and everybody's crying and comes to the Lord. I can't do that to you. Women do that better. That's why sometimes I would prefer that she talks over here. But some places they don't allow women to talk. But I remember when I first came to the Lord, and through Catherine Kuhlman, when I hated women preachers and all that. And I used to preach against them, I used to preach against them, I used to preach against them. And then the Lord changed my whole heart. And then when I used to preach in the churches, and Julie used to be there, I used to make her to come and minister, and the priest wouldn't want her to come. So he said, no, let her speak down there from that, don't bring her into the sanctuary. Woman. So, they were charismatic, but they didn't want. So I said, okay. So she went there to the microphone wouldn't work. It was live before that, it died. She took the microphone, it wouldn't work. So I tapped, my microphone was working. I said, this one is working, come Julie, come here. No one stopped me, she came and went there. As soon as she went there, and she began to give a testimony, the power of the Lord was coming on people. I wanted them to see that it was not the male clergy. But every man and woman and child are called for the greatest and mighty power of God, and it happened. And the people were crying, and the anointing was there. So at the end of that, we went down and to stand in line to pray for the people. All wanted to come. But you know, Catholics, well, between the two, I think the one who has got more power is the priest. So the whole line stood in front of me, and Julie standing over here. They still had not seen the power because I could see them. They were totally, you know, asked for salvation. And so they all asked for salvation. And they're coming in line. And I want to tell them, go into that line, but they wouldn't. Because they're looking, because how can a woman pray for me? And then suddenly I said, Lord, you have to help this. So one person, out of pity and mercy for Julie, then he said, pray for me. And Julie said, Jesus loves you. I hardly could not even touch it. Boom, she went down to the ground. Woo! All the people went into her line. I said, praise the Lord. Lord, you're answering my prayer. Where are the women? Who kept them second class? You didn't have to fight for your ministry. God created man, and male and female, he created man. And there's no male and female in Christ Jesus, amen. So I would like her to come up after all this talk and to pray. Do you want to go? Let us get into prayer warfare right now, because you've got a school over here. It is being attacked. The children had been stolen by the devil from 65. The persons who came in charge of the public schools were communists. I've seen the manifesto and how they were going to take the children of America. They've taken you, me and the children. They have done and they've taken the communications. Gays have been the top men in the communications, I know it. The top men of our networks were gays. And they've got great talent. And they've tried to destroy this nation, but no longer. You've got a covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a year of favor of the Lord, and He is going to favor us as soon, even if it is just this church, rises up with anger to the commander-in-chief in sight and says, we are going to get it. You are the Marines of the Lord. The boys who did an excellent work, they were so proud that their commander-in-chief was so much for them, and the people were praying for them. When they came back and hugged their little children, it was a family thing. The Lord purposely allowed the cameras to go there to show us that we are a family. They're not here to kill people. They come here to set them free, to make the blind see and the lame walk. And the little children who were born whilst they were away, they were holding them so tenderly. It's like Malachi, the fathers and the children will be coming back soon. Even the married people today, if you have problems in marriage, Bob Connor was up there and on the last day, he gave a prophecy. I've got the tape with me. And whatever he has said many things and they have come true. Snow came down to destroy the fire, all that. He's a mighty man of God. And he said, the Lord is saying, there are a lot of divorces here in the church. A warning to thee. Because a woman was running around saying, I'm divorced, I'm going to get married again. Publicly she was saying in the conference. He never heard that, I heard it. And he said, and the Lord says, whether you like it or not, I'm going to heal all the marriages. The Lord said it. Whether you like it or not, I will heal these marriages. Oh, but you know, we don't have a will, we don't. The Lord is grace and mercy. It is not because of our great intellectual cogitation that we begin to get saved. It is totally grace and mercy, like I was in a bed, lying there, totally helpless, when I got born again. And through a woman minister, Catherine Kuhlman, whom I did not like. So praise God. So come, Julie, let's pray. We are praying. Now remember what we are praying for. We are praying for our children to be released and ministers to minister to not only these children, but to minister to all who are saved from after being evangelized. Now you know English. If you go to come to India, how would you talk to these people that are evangelized? You train our people. We've got a lot of young people. And they need people filled with the Spirit to train them. And then they will translate in their own languages and go out. And that can multiply. So Calvary Chapel can do that for us one day. And we've got a big 5-6 story building. We're getting it ready already now for month of May. Who knows who's going to come? and we are going to start the school. And from city to city, village to village, building houses of prayer, and equipping in every marketplace. Father, I pray that those wagons you're giving us will supply the need of the children in the streets. That's why you called me anyway. That's why I'm here standing today with the minister. That's why you put me in touch with Calvary Chapel, who loves children and who started a school here too. They're going through difficulties sometimes, Father, and I pray for them that this school is going to be victorious. The children are going to be victorious. The teachers and the principal and the pastors and all the ministers here, they're going to be victorious in the ministry of children. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, Julie, stop praying. Could you please stand up and be in one mind and one heart right now?
You know, first of all, I just want to share a little burden that's laid in my heart, and that is that is the prayer room, that little small room. This is the prayer room. There's a big identity problem here. This is the place where prayer must go on, and not in 24/7. There are people that can walk in these doors 24/7. Those doors should be open. Without prayer, we can do nothing. Prayer is the chain of command to the Father. And whenever I stand up at a mic to pray, I don't pray because you want me to. I pray what the Holy Spirit's asking, because I know that it's going to be done. A year ago, when Victor and I made a silent retreat for 1 month, and we just went to a mountain cabin to just seek more of the Lord. And the one thing, I got so few words from the Lord, I almost made myself sick wanting to hear Him. And yet those valuable words have sustained me. Because I thought I was going to have visions and everything, but I heard Him say that I have given you the keys. And I suddenly realized that when He died on that cross, and He took the keys away from Satan, who had received them from Adam and Eve, that we have been given this earth. And then I suddenly, it's so different to know something and to know something, and have the revelation that said to me, well, if we have the keys to this earth, and we have the things that we need, then why are we letting the devil have his way? He still has not changed his character. He's a liar. He's an age-old liar. He's a thief. He robs. Who does he rob? We think he's robbing our houses. We think he's robbing. No, he robs the church of its power.
Amen.
He robs the church of its authority. Whenever we say the devil did this, we are giving allegiance to him. But when we say what God did in the midst of a fiery battle, it is God who will bring the victory. No one can come against our God. No one. It is impossible for man to come against our God. He is the God of the impossible. But when the church wakes up and says, I want to be in prayer. I want to be a warrior. That's every single person, from the littlest one to the oldest one. There is no age in the kingdom of God. We are ageless and we are mighty. And there is no big might or little might, because it's His might. We are not drawing from some stature. I remember that one time when I had a word, and it says, God doesn't look at your skinny legs. And I said, they're not so skinny. But they are skinny in the sight of God. He looks at us through the eyes of His Son Jesus. Our Father looks through us. We are so righteous, so pure, and so holy, because we are covered with the righteousness of Jesus. And let no devil tell you differently. Let no man on earth can tell me that I am not pure and holy because of the righteousness of my Lord. It's when I step out of that righteousness, as He said about Hezekiah today, and I lay claim to something, when I say, I did it, then I am in the kingdom of the devil. But when I say, He did it, I know from whom I speak, and I know who is my Lord and Master. And so, more than even praying right now, I want to pray for this church to come alive in prayer. To come alive and be the warriors that God has ordained you to be. To know who you are in Jesus Christ. Father, I just ask for the revelation that you gave me to come into their hearts today, Father. That they may speak with the authority of Jesus Christ when they walk into their homes. That they may quench the storm that's in their homes by the authority that Jesus has given them. That they will not accept problems or undisciplined children, but will speak into that element. Will speak the truth of Jesus Christ and quench that demonic power that wants to put a storm in their homes. There are no storms in the homes of the saints who know who they are in Jesus Christ. We speak the peace of Jesus Christ. We speak it into America. We speak it into the economy. We speak it into the president. We speak it into those that are ordained in offices, that they will come under the headship of Jesus Christ. We have made Jesus Christ the Lord over America. We now make him the Lord over Iraq. We make him the Lord over the Muslims. That they will come to the place of knowing who Jesus Christ is. They will come to the revelation that you alone, God, are holy. You alone are mighty. You alone are the one that we adore and worship. You alone are the one that we give our service to. And Father, that you will take that awesome power from heaven and you will open doors for this church. Doors of ministry to these people, that they may go to the streets and watch the people come in, that their homes may be houses of prayer, that this church will be quadrupled. That there won't be room in this place to contain them. That there won't be room in this block to contain them. That they'll have to take over Disneyland, Father. I pray against the works of the devil in that place.
Yes.
And I say that it shall be taken over by the Lord.
Yes.
And it will be used to bring his word of truth into this town. Father, I just pray for Anaheim. That Anaheim be a mighty work of your Holy Spirit, Father. And that by the sword of the Spirit you will drive out the demonic powers that have flowed in Anaheim.
Amen.
You will drive them out. And you'll drive them out of Los Angeles. You'll drive them out of every area.
Amen.
And you'll put in a holy man to be the governor of this nation. A holy man to be the governor of California. A holy man, our righteous leaders, that we may have the oil of anointing come down on our heads for this season, Father. For this is the season of the Lord, and this is the house of prayer. And I consecrate this place, that it will be just a place of praise and worship and prayer day and night.
Hallelujah.
That these doors will never be closed, and that the multitudes of people will come inside to be delivered and saved. Father, use this place. Use it as a mighty instrument in your hand.
Amen.
As a mighty hand of God, for we are blessed by the works of God through these people here today, Father. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you.
Thank you, Lord. If you have any prayer requests or needs, or you want to come and meet Victor and Julie, want them to pray, come on up and meet them and get all prayed up and pray for one another. That's what we do here. Julie's right. That isn't the prayer room. The prayer room's really out here. It's everywhere. So God bless you. Have a good day today. Glad you can come.